All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day, Lord, and your grace. We thank you very much for your grace, Lord, because we know where we would have been, Lord, if it had not been for your grace. We'd be wandering down that lonely road with our salvation up to ourselves, Lord. And we're so glad, Lord, that you stopped us from going down that road and turned us around, Lord, brought us back and made us partakers, Lord, in this hour. And we pray, Lord, that you will bring to pass, Lord, your word in our hearts, Lord, in the lives of your children, Lord, wherever they are. May you bless the word, Lord. As Brother Branham said, that even if you just read it, that is a blessing, Lord. And so we feel that way about the message as well as the written scripture. And Lord, we pray that you'll just bless it, Lord, to our souls tonight that hunger for it, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So we are going to start off in, I thought, since we had been talking so much about this event, you know, we've been talking about how that God brings prophecy and then he comes and fulfills the prophecy. And we talked about how that all the prophets brought forth all those prophecies about the Messiah, and then Jesus come on the scene and God fulfilled those things in Jesus's life. And we want to read some of the prophecy that was for our day, as Brother Branham had said, and we were listening to the other day about the modern events that are made clear by the prophecy. So we realize that prophecy was given about the day that we're living in, and we want to look at those prophecies and then look at how they were fulfilled. And one of the things that we wanted to look at was how that we've been kind of going over it in smaller pieces in the previous weeks. And we've been talking about how that in the last days, the last half of Isaiah 61, which was to bring judgment, and other things that are written about Christ for this day, that Brother Branham said that would be fulfilled in the bride. And we know that the word always comes to the prophet, and that prophet bringing that word, and the bride is there to receive it. That makes a unit. That makes the manifestation of the word, which is Christ. And so we want to look at that in some of the prophecy tonight and go over that a little bit. So look, we're going to start in the very much read Revelations 10:1-7. But I kind of want to point out a couple of things as we go down through here. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet were pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. So when the lion had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And the angel cried, and it was as a lion roareth. And then once he had cried, then the thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. So, in some way, whatever was uttered in those thunders is sealed up in the book, but yet it's not written. That's what Brother Branham said. And the scripture says to write them not, but at the same time, seal them up. So, and as we have went along all this time, we have talked about how that the book was the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Brother Branham said, as time has went by, that he's slowly let out this revelation. And when he's let out the revelation, as time goes by, this event here that John saw, God had him seal it up in the book. So whatever the seven thunders uttered is in the book, but it's not written. Now, I'm not going to try to figure that out, and I don't think you ought to either, but he plainly told us this was the case. So we're going to take what he said, and we're going to go and believe it all. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. So at this event that's happening, so let's back up just a little bit. I don't want you to miss something. I want to point something out here. So we pointed out the fact that whatever the thunders uttered were sealed up in the book, but they weren't written. So the other thing I wanted to point out, hang on 1 second. That when this happens, there's no more time. So something has been allotted time, and at the sounding of these thunders, that time allotted is finished. And Brother Branham told us that when the seventh seal is open, that it's the end of all things. It doesn't end all things right when it's opened, but it ends all things. So we're talking about this book being open when he comes down, and we're talking about the thunders had been uttered, and so whatever had sealed up the thunders is now unsealed. They're not sealed up in the book anymore. And remember what Brother Branham said, that when those seals opened, the Bible became a new book to him. Now think about that. When the seals opened, the Bible became a new book. And right here what we're reading is that the seven seals, they sealed up those thunders in the book. And so when the seven seals are broken, the mysteries of them, because they were broke all down, but the mysteries of them are broke here. And the last seal is broke, the mystery of it. So when that happens, this is when the time has run out for something. And if you look at Brother Branham said about the seventh seal, Brother Branham said everything ends up on the seventh seal. It's the end of all things. All right. So let's go on down here and let's look at this first. But Brother Branham is, the word comes to the prophet. And so we know Brother Branham said that whenever this happened, that this seal was tore off, that it was sent down to his messenger. So let's read as the prophet identifies scripture for us. Talk about a jubilee. Talk about a time when the Lamb walked forth. See, the books even sealed in heaven, the mysteries are. See, the book sealed, period. Even sealed in heaven, he said. Say, is my name there? I don't know. I hope it is. But if it is, it was put on the book before the foundation of the world. That's why he's saying it's sealed in heaven. It was sealed everywhere. Sealed, period. Before the foundation of the world. But the first thing that represented that redemption come the Lamb that had been slain from the foundation of the world. It had been sealed since the foundation of the world. The Lamb had been slain since the foundation of the world. And he took the book, glory, Brother Graham says, opened the book and tore off the seals and sent it down to the earth to his seventh angel to reveal it to his people. So something is ending. Time is ending. And he's sending this down to his people at the time that this is happening. Tore off the seals and sent it down to the earth to his seventh angel to reveal it to his people. So the word comes to the prophet. It has to come to the prophet. And so here it comes. There you are. Oh my, what happens? The screams, the shouts, the hallelujahs, the anointed, the power, the glory, and the manifestation. Something's great when this book opened. It's not just something a seal broke, like we would think, go get a book and break the seal on it that you bought from the store or something, and now you can start to read it. No, this breaking of the seal is something actually taking place. And so going down to the first seal here, go down a little ways in. But see, the kingdom still belongs to Satan. So before he comes and gets the book, Brother Ram's making it known to us that the kingdom still belongs to Satan. Even though redemption's been going on all this time, even God's paid the price, Jesus hasn't come and claimed what's his yet. And so the kingdom still belongs to Satan. He's still got his part in his hand because why? He still got this part in his hand because why? It is redeemed by Christ, but he's doing the part of the kinsman redeemer, taking his subjects until the last one name is put on that book, was already received it, has already received it, and been sealed away. Now, do you got it? So you know that all the names were already on the book and it was already sealed. He just told us that. So he's been sealing them away by the word that they were for their day. Now, do you got it? When he comes from his throne, his Father's throne, walks forward, takes the book out of God's hands from the throne and claims his own rights. When he took the book, he's claiming his rights. See, that something's over. The time was over, as we mentioned a while ago. And now he's claiming his rights. And what did we just read up here a while ago? That when he opened took the book and opened the seals, he sends it down to the prophet. So time is ending. He's sending the message down to his prophet. He's broke the seals. He's come to take the kingdom away from Satan. He's still got his part. He's redeemed. It is redeemed by Christ, but he's doing the part of the kinsman redeemer, taking his subjects until the last name is put on the book, has already received it and been sealed away. Now, do you get it? Do you got it? Then he comes from his throne, his Father's throne, walks forward, takes the book out of God's hand from the throne, and claims his rights. The first thing he does is call for his bride. But I thought he just said a while ago the first thing he done was he sent it down to his prophet to give it to his people. So here we see, to me, this is one of the great prophecies here. It was prophesied that he would loose this book. He would come and take this book and loose the seals and send it down to the messenger. And Brother Branham, in the scripture, Brother Branham here is saying, the first thing he does is call for his bride. And what did he say? He sent the message down to his prophet to give it to his children. So what is taking place in the bride is Christ calling his bride. I mean, in the prophet is Christ calling his bride. And it's a message as well. I just think that's amazing. The first thing he does is call for his bride. So the first thing he does is he sends a message. And the message is going to do the calling. Just like when Jesus stood in front of that woman at the well and he done those things that the scripture spoke of. Now the same thing is happening. It's happening in the prophet's life. God is bringing it to pass through the prophet. The first thing he does is call for his bride. Amen. Then what does he take? He takes his opponent, Satan, and binds him. So he's calling for his bride and he's binding Satan. So to call for his bride, Brother Bram said, he binds them first. Binds the tares. Cast him in the fire. Cast him into the fire out there with all the that followed him. All right. So this is over. Let's come on down a little ways. And this is towards the end of 63. He says, we have seen his star and have come to worship him. And Brother Bram's asking the question, would you deny what Jesus said himself? What the Bible itself speaks out, which is Christ the anointed word? The Bible is Christ the anointed word. And if the word abides in you, then you are anointed person with the word. If it abides in you. And what did Brother Branham say? He sent his message down. Christ, when he loosed the seals, he sent it down to the people. And he sent it to the prophet. And the people see the word in the prophet. And they become anointed when they receive it. And if the word abides in you, then you're anointed person with the word. You abide in me and my word in you. And that word abide really means something. If somebody is abiding in this house, then they're not having to struggle to stay in here. They're just at peace in here. It's their home. Ye abide in me and my word in you. Then ask what you will, it'll be done for you. That's Christ in you, anointing the word for this hour. Christ in you, anointing the word for this age. Whatever age they lived in, so whatever age these other messengers lived in, that was the same thing he's saying. God divided his word to ages. And every time it comes, that time, the churches are all scrupled up. And God anoints somebody, sends it down, makes the word act just exactly the way he said it did. And when he did that with Luther, there was justification. What about the prophet when the books opened and he sends down the whole word? The word that's been sealed up, what about that? Is it going to act in the prophet the way he said it would and said it did? Exactly. And there's a word prophesied for this day. God is waiting to find somebody it's not too unusual to. What he's going to anoint is not too unusual to them. That they can be anointed with the Holy Ghost. For what reason? This word that he's hunting is going to be anointed with the Holy Ghost to prove that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. To be a shining light, to blind the eyes of the unbeliever. To be a shining light, to blind the eyes of the unbeliever. And they will blaspheme it. Remember what he said a while ago, that what he does is he comes and calls for his bride and he binds Satan. And they will blaspheme it, would bring justice upon them, for God's law is just, and his judgment can only come by his justice. And then he can condemn the world. Because here is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when the bride sees that, they run to it. The call has been made, see? And when he can condemn the world, and then he can condemn the world, because Brother Branham said that what proves or vindicates the prophet is the word, and the bride is part of the word. And when he sounds and she hears that sound and she runs to it, then the word there is, it's proven who he is, because the message he sounded, only the bride would come to that if it's God. And when he can condemn the world and send it away into the flame of fire, because Jesus Christ has been made known to the people, and the people have come to that. Now, what we have been saying was that the last half of Isaiah 61 was what? Judgment, Brother Bram said. What do we see happening here? Judgment. Exactly what Brother Bram said was going to happen. All right, so let's move over into Anointed Ones at the End Time, Jeffersonville. Revelations 10 said, in the last days of the sounding of the seventh angel, now remember, seventh, Laodicea church age, the sounding of that angel, when that church age is done, denominated, and become a church, when it's done in its Pentecostal organization, when the messenger to that, what was each messenger? What was Martin Luther? A rebuke to the Catholic. What was Wesley? A rebuke to the Lutherans. Now, we read this the other night, but it fit right here. I just wanted to bring it back. What was the Pentecost? A rebuke to them others. Where has the life gone now? See, that's the life that was coming through those messengers. Remember, we talked about Christ walking among the candlesticks. And he had those messengers. They were all Christ coming in each age. A rebuke to them others. Where has the life gone now? Remember, he was trying to find somebody a while ago who wasn't unfamiliar to, so that he could commend them and prove that he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. So where has the life gone? It's left that church. Where has the life gone now? Away from an organization. No more shuck. It's the grain. What is it? A rebuke to the Pentecost, see? To fulfill the scripture of this hour. It's a rebuke. See, this message is a rebuke. It's a binding. Because when they're rebuked, Brother Bram said, they blaspheme it and they turn against it. And remember what we have been pointing out as we went along, how that back in the very first church age, we knew things were not going exactly right back there. And what happened? They said, let them grow together. And in the end, they'll be separated. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening. It's the end. The separation's coming. And I think the next message, that's what we're going to talk about, is separation. But notice, the very day when this messenger, now he's going to make something real clear now. Not when he starts on, but when he begins to declare his message, see, now we read this, first pull healing, second pull prophesying, third pull the opening of the word. The mysteries revealed. And we know that third pull is when he put the sword in his hand. And Brother Branham said, if you get the sword of the word, it takes the faith to swing it. So we realize what's taking place here. Faith is what? Revelation. The revelation comes to the prophet. So he can swing this sword here that's coming. The opening of the word, the mysteries revealed. This is what calls the bride. No more, there is no more higher order to reveal the word than prophets. But the only way the prophet can be vindicated is by the word. what I was talking about a while ago, the word in the bride for that age comes to him. And that vindicates him. And what did he say that the bride does in this last day? That she will be the fulfillment of all the word that was written for Christ, the word, in this last day. And remember, and now I don't want you to miss, don't miss that, because we're pointing out something here that vindicates the prophet. Now, and we've talked about how John was vindicated by Jesus, who was there in the flesh. And Jesus was the word, right? Brother Branham talked about how that John's in the water and Jesus, the word, comes to him. And so don't miss that, because Brother Branham's making this so very beautifully painted. And remember, the third pull was the opening of them seven seals to reveal the hidden truth that's been what? Sealed in the word. And what did he tell him, tell John to do? Seal it up. Do you see it? Amen. I know Brother Holmes has preached that for years. I know, but I just wanted us to go back through it here. And the reason that he called John Elijah, now this is over in the Church Ages book. Now he's going to point out some of these things about John and the spirit of Elijah in the last day. The reason that he called John Elijah was because the same spirit was upon Elijah had come back upon John. Even as that spirit had come back upon Elisha after the reign of King Ahab. Now, once again, that spirit will come back upon another man just before Jesus comes. He'll be a prophet. He'll be vindicated as such by God. Since Jesus, he'll be vindicated as a prophet. He'll be vindicated as that prophet. And let him keep talking here. Since Jesus himself in the flesh won't be here to vindicate him as he did John, it will be done by the Holy Spirit, so that this vindication that he did forerun the second coming, it will be done by the Holy Spirit, so that this prophet's ministry will be attended by great and wonderful manifestation. A prophet, every revelation will be vindicated, for every revelation will come to pass. Wonderful acts of power will be performed at his commands in faith. Then will be brought forth the message. See, all this takes place. Vindication by the Holy Spirit. Then will be brought forth the message that God has given him in the word to turn the people back to truth and the true power of God. Some will listen, but the majority will run true to form and reject him. Sends a message down to the bride, and mine's Satan. Though he will not be popular, he will be vindicated by God. He just said the Holy Spirit will do it. As Jesus authenticated John, and the Holy Ghost authenticated Jesus, the dove come down on him, we can well expect this man will be first of all authenticated by the Spirit working in his life in acts of power that are indisputable and found nowhere else. And Jesus himself, in returning, will authenticate him even as he authenticated John. But he said he wasn't going to be in the flesh, but he's still going to authenticate him just as he authenticated John. John witnessed that Jesus was coming. Now he's going to tell you what he means by it. John witnessed that Jesus was coming. And so will this man like John, witness that Jesus is coming. And the very return of Christ will prove that this man indeed was the forerunner of this second coming. And what did we just read? What happened there Revelations 10:1-7? For the end of the Gentile period will be Jesus himself appearing. Then it will be too late for those who have rejected him. So him appearing will be them rejecting him. They've already rejected him. Going on down in the same message. Now this messenger of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7, he's the messenger of both. Look at it, he's pointing it out. This messenger of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7. Remember what he said a while ago was going to do. He was going to vindicate it by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus himself will do it. And who was the mighty angel who sent down the message to the prophet? Is going to do two things. One, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. This messenger will. Two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the mysteries contained in the seven seals. I'm sorry, the revelations contained in the seven seals. It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths, this unsealing of what was sealed up, that literally turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. Exactly so. All right. Now, we've talked about that before, what he says there. And you'll notice what he's saying here. He said Malachi 4 will turn. He's going to do two things, he said. This messenger will do two things. He'll turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, and he'll reveal the mysteries. Mm-hmm. And in the very day that the Son of Man is revealed, Revelations 10:1-7, read it when you get home. The very day that this happens, the seventh angel's message, opening up the seals, what is it? Not the angel is the Son of Man, but the messenger is revealing the Son of Man. Can you get it separated now? Brother and sister, all that was in God, he poured into Christ. And all that's in Christ, he pours into the bride. That's what we're witnessing taking place here. This message, when he ripped off the seals and he sent down the message, it was the message of Jesus Christ revealed. Not hidden anymore. Remember, Brother Branham went and took that message, Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. He said, talked about how hard it's been for him to hold this in and stuff. Can you get it separated now? That's where it seems to be so hard for you, you see. Not the Son of Man himself. The seventh angel, the seventh messenger, is revealing to the public the Son of Man, because it's left the shuck. See, it's revealing the Son of Man because it's left the shuck. Can't reveal the Son of Man. It has to be after it's left the shuck. He can't organize it. It's the grain itself again. Amen. Right, so trying to do God a service without it being his will. This paragraph 214. Now, he kind of starts off slow here, but I want you to catch what he's saying here. Notice, watch what we're saying now. Well, listen. David had all the emotion that the real revival had. Notice, they shouted, they screamed, they danced. They really got something out of that anointing. Sure did. All like a real revival. But you notice, God was not in it. God was not in it. And it was even true that God was going to move the ark. And it should have been, and it should be moved. But David was not the one, so God was not in it. God was not in it. He had a prophet sitting there in the land that they ought to have known. Brother, he's pinning this right on the people in this day. They could have went and asked him, but yet they're hollering, revival, revival, revival. And Brother Branham talks about that so many, many times. They could have just come ask him. He's the prophet. He's right there. But they won't. They keep going and doing their own thing. See, David should have known that. Now, let us see what happened when God, in his time and age, and his prophets are not considered. Let's see what happens when they're not considered. Just when they're not considering the prophet, they're dependent on theology, priest, denominationalism, like we do today. Now closely, well, he just cut that close. Did you see how close he cut that? He just said David, Nathanael was there in the land and they wouldn't go talk to him. David wouldn't. Now let us see what happened when God in his time and age and his prophets are not considered. Just depend on theology. Okay, we got that. Now closely, it all gets messed up. And see, this is a call to the bride. The bride hears that and they said, that's right. That's what's been happening. I can see that's what's happening because God's showing them. And the ones that are in it who ain't going to come out are sitting over there going, well, who is he to tell me that? Just because he can prophesy things? I know this man over here, he's prophesying. This one over here, he's prophesying. Now, closely, it gets messed up. If the true spirit of God there, it'll direct it into the word. Just what will direct what? It will direct them. If the true spirit of God is in them, it will direct them to the word. And the word comes to the prophet. He just said the prophet's there. They will go to the prophet. It'll direct it into the word. Not just one place in the word. The entire word for the entire age. See? The day of Pentecost, the spirit directed it right into Joel 2:38. The word was in those people, predestinated. And the Spirit directed it directly into what happened. He brought it to pass. It's always God bringing his own word to pass. See, the day of Luther, it directed it right into that. Wesley and this last Pentecostal move. But this is another age. This is the calling out of the bride. Remember, we just heard him say that that's the first thing he does, was sends a message down to call her out. Not 2,000 years ago at Pentecost, or the repeat, or the return. The Holy Spirit was in Luther. The Holy Spirit was in Wesley. It was in Nathaniel. It was in every prophet. It's God's word being anointed. Oh, if people would see what went on there, they would quit playing around about what the prophet said. And the Holy Spirit returned to the people of the age, and they began to have the restoration of the gifts. They found out by yielding themselves to God. This is what they found out. If they yielded themselves to God, the Holy Spirit spoke in tongues through them. They laid their hands on the sick and they was recovered. They danced in the Spirit. So what? These are things that's written in the Bible. And they began to yield themselves to that word. Mm-hmm. See how Brother Branham's bringing this in. They're yielding to this word. Whereas these other ones, they wouldn't yield. Mm-hmm. To what? There was a prophet there and it wouldn't go to the prophet and yield to the prophet. And Brother Branham talked about how Israel, they wanted to go get a king. They didn't want to have to go and yield to the prophet every single time. They wanted a king. They wanted to be a little like the world, a little bit different from that. And it was disrespectful to God. That was the age of the Reformation. I can sure y'all can see how I'm moving on into separation here, because I think that'll be the next message. That was the age of the Reformation, bringing the church back into order. And the last order of the church was placing the gifts into the church, like Luther placed justification, Wesley placed sanctification, Pentecost placed the gifts. But what did they do? The same mistake. As nature has patterned to the wheat stalk, they denominated, which is against God, contrary to God. They turned, instead of turning to the Word, they went with their ideas, and they become dead. The whole Bible, if you summed it up, has been, from the very beginning to the very end, about separation. It's about a man separating from his own self to God, yielding to God. That's what the whole thing's been about. Now find out that when these stalk gatherers comes together, they form their own idea. And no matter when the new issue, as they call it, come forth out of the assemblies of God, what did they do? They couldn't receive it, no matter how much truth it was. The baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, they were already the general council. See, they'd already sold out to their ideas and their organization. Not led by faith. That's a total separation. It's when you're led by faith. They were already the general council. Man had done took it over. The Spirit had done left them. Right? And when this come forth, I've talked to some of your best leaders, they say. Well, what would we do now? We would embarrass ourselves. Let's see. Let me make sure I read that right. I've talked to some of your best leaders, they say. Well, what would we do now? They would embarrass themselves when they know it's the truth. If they don't, they're spiritually blind and ignorant to the Bible. See, they know it's there, and they still won't take it. Remember Brother Branham talking about somebody in their study, you'll get to it, he said. You'll come to the part of the Scripture, and you'll turn real fast so you don't have to. As if that's going to keep it from being confronting you and I one day. It will. Let's confront it now. But now is the bride calling. Now is the bride calling. First thing he's going to do when he takes the book is call for his bride. Now is the bride calling. Now is when the seven seals has been opened. Now when the complete things that the reformers left has to be opened. So all of those left off something. And only Malachi 4 can do that, because it takes the revelation straight from God to an individual to do so. Opening the seals is a direct revelation to an individual. That's right. It can't come to a group. Never did. One man. That's what God promised. He promised that this revelation, the opening of the seals, would come to a man, one man. And that's what God promised in the shadows of the coming of his bride and Eliezer. He promised this Eliezer. See, and remember what we talked about in the last message on Eliezer. Notice when priests, ministers, and so forth get their own. Notice when priests, ministers, and so forth get their own inspiration. They get their own inspiration. Truly anointed, but they go get their own idea. Their idea. They're anointed, and yet they have their own idea. David was anointed. The Bible said so. But you see, he went through the wrong resource. He went to the wrong channel. He's trying his best to get the people to see, to come to what I'm telling you. You think about that. This man went to bed every night thinking about, did he say, you know, I don't think he doubted himself, but he prayed, God, am I doing everything you want me to do? You know, you think about what he went through. Coming before these people that he loved and telling them the truth and trying to get them to see that they were looking at the wrong channel. He channeled his anointing on the wrong side to the people. He channeled his anointing to the people, what they thought. See, to the captains, what they thought. Instead of God's holy channel to find out what thus saith the Lord was, what did God think? This, is this the time for this? Is this the season for this? Is this the will of God? Then if he's a true prophet of God, he'll go before God first and say, Father, what is it? Like Nathan did later on to David. David said, is it right for me to live in a house of cedar and the ark of my God under tents out there? And look at Nathan said, David, do all that's in your heart, for God's with you. You're an anointed vessel of God. But that being a prophet and his mistake and God's duty bound to the prophet, that night he appeared to him and said, go tell my servant David, I admire his courage. I love him for this, cause he's a man after my own heart. And I know it's time that my ark would be that way. It does need to be moved, and it's time that my ark would be that way, but under something, put under something. But it ain't the season for it to happen. I'll let his son do it, but I won't let him do it. Then here come Nathan with, thus saith the Lord, David, the great revelation you had is wrong, as it was when you brought the ark up. See, don't you do it. Don't try it. But God said he'll have your son to do it. There, see, there you are. Modern events made clear by prophecy. And this is the one we listened to the other day, I think. This is not the day of Pentecost. The Pentecostal age is past. Pentecost is gone. This is harvest time. So Pentecost wasn't harvest time. This is harvest time. See, in the harvest time, the grain, the water's done, been poured out. The grain's getting ripe. Come into the grain, my dear brother. He's pleading. Come into the grain, my dear brother. It's being ripened by the word. Come into it. If you believe me to be a servant of God, let's each one in our own way bow our head in humility and offer the prayer that we know that we should offer. God, take me as I am. And brother and sister, I lay myself on the altar tonight too. God, mold me and make me different. Do something, God. Make me in your fashion. You think it's easy to stand here and cut the people to pieces like that? It's a hard thing to do. But woe unto me if I don't do it. Dear God, and I thank God for him for doing it. And may he do it in his children the same. Dear God, as this audience bows their head and heart in this solemn moments here of closing of this Bible lecture, when we see the vindication of the Holy Spirit that shook this nation back and forth and back and forth, great revivals and indications, knowing that something has to follow it. And then see those seven angels come down there on the mountain, on the top of the mountain, yonder in Arizona. When even the magazines across the nations packed it, to see Jesus himself there in the skies looking down and saying that in the Revelations 10:7, in the seventh angel's message, these seals would be opened. He said, Jesus in the sky saying that, looking down, saying it. In the seventh angel's message, these seals would be opened. The mysteries of God would be made known that the reformers didn't live long enough to bring out. And if they're made known, they're the only thing that's sealing the thunders. Because the Bible, Brother Branham said, there at the very beginning, he said, seal it up. What the thunders uttered, seal it up. And so when the seals are done away with, it's not sealed up anymore. When the seals are opened, bring it out. And here, these seven seals that sealed the whole thing is to be opened in this day. That sealed the whole thing. What was sealed? The thunders. To see all these great signs and wonders that's been done, vindicated, foretold before it happened, and not one time have you ever failed us, but brought it to pass just as it was said. Dear God, we realize that Jesus Christ is in our midst. We know that he is here. He's here tonight. The invisible God is here with us and can perform every promise that he made in his word. How you have stood and proved to them with backs turned in the original beginning before the impersonators even entered the ring, Lord, or entered into the race as it was. You showed and proved and prophesied and told exactly the way it would happen, and we see it's happened that way. And the Father God, we know it cannot be man. It has to be God. So we know it's you here tonight. Forgive us of our sins. Amen. And I tell you, the more we think about this, the more I think about that Eliezer. Eliezer had to be able to point out Isaac. Our Eliezer had to be able to point out Christ. She said, is that him? He said, that's him. And she comes and says, is that him? And he says, that's him. And he's pointed at this message all this time. The one that was sent down to him. That was being made. Brother Bram said, he would rather you live him a sermon than preach him one. Mm-hmm. And you talk about having lived one. Mm-hmm. It's so good to have him to lead us and guide us in his word. And let's pray. Father, I can never thank you enough, Lord. As Brother Branham said, if you had all the tongues and years, we can never thank you enough, Lord. And we thank you so much that by your grace, you open up the truth to us. Lord, make it more and more and more real every day. Lord, you said as the word feeds into our soul, Lord, it's bringing these things to pass. Lord, may we be identified, Lord, as that part of Isaiah 61, Lord. May we be so like you that we are you, Lord, in being that fulfillment of Scripture that was written about you, Father. We pray, Lord, you'll bless and watch over each brother and sister and keep them, Lord, wherever they are, wherever this might be heard by someone. I pray you'll just bless them, Lord, with it. May it be that they're part of those that are called, Lord, that heard their name when the book was opened and came, Lord, when they heard the message. We ask it now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.